Today's scripture comes from Romans 9, verses 25 through 33. Concerning the Gentiles, God says in the prophecy of Hosea, "Those who were not my people, I will now call my people, and I will love those whom I did not love before. And then at the place where they were told, 'You are not my people,' there they will be called children of the living God." And concerning Israel, Isaiah the prophet cried out, "Though the people of Israel are as numerous as the sand of the seashore, only a remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth quickly and with finality." And Isaiah said the same thing in another place. "If the Lord of heaven's armies had not spared a few of our children, we would have been wiped out like Sodom, destroyed like Gomorrah." So what does this all mean? Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right with God, and it was by faith that this took place. But the people of Israel, who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law, never succeeded. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law, instead of by trusting in Him. They stumbled over a great rock in their path. God warned them of this in the scriptures when He said, "I am placing a stone in Jerusalem that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. But anyone who trusts in Him will never be disgraced." The people of God, or the word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning again. If you don't know who I am, my name is Ella Johnson, and I am one of the youth at the church, and Pastor Jim, a couple months ago, asked me if I would be willing to speak today, and I told him yes. So I have chosen the scripture from Romans, and the book of Romans is basically a bunch of letters that Paul wrote to the church of Rome after Jesus died. And the Roman church at that time was mostly like heritage Jewish people, but it also contained a large number of Gentiles who kind of moved over to Christianity during Jesus' life and death. And during these letters, Paul is trying to create a clear declaration of everyone's shared faith in God, Jew, Gentile, everyone alike. He uses a lot of quotes from earlier passages in the Old Testament, like you saw, to kind of enforce this idea of a together church. In this section of his letter, Paul is trying to show the people of Israel that with the coming of Jesus and his preachings, God becomes more open to more people. It's not just about the Jewish people anymore. It's about everyone in the world having access to this love. And the rigid following of all of these rules that the Jewish people had been following maybe were not as important as what they had thought. It is a concept that he keeps talking about throughout Romans, not just in this passage. And he used it a lot of different quotes and things to kind of help prove this point. Actually, later on Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, Paul says, "Jew and Gentile are the same in that respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And Paul is trying to convey this idea that the church is something for everyone. It's not something for one group of people or a couple people. It's for everyone. And God's teachings is love, not necessarily all of the rules that we have created as humans ourselves. In the scripture, chapter 9, verse 33, Paul says, "God warned them of this in the scriptures when he said, 'I am placing a stone in Jerusalem that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. But anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced.'" And that stone that God is prophesizing that Paul brings up again in the scripture is Jesus. Jesus threw a lot of people's ideas about religion kind of totally out the window. And it was really confusing and scary for the people of that time. I guess that I might be the only one who thinks about it this way, but if you think about it, Jesus was kind of a crazy story. This baby comes back. And then as a kid, he starts talking to preachers and telling them things that they should do as like a teenager. And then as an adult, he starts like converting people to be his disciples and telling them that he's the Son of God. And like he knows better than all of these religious officials that they've been listening to their whole lives. And people actually believe him, which is kind of crazy. I mean, it's wonderful and it's amazing, and Jesus coming back was amazing. But at the time, you can kind of imagine that it would be scary as well, because if someone came in this church today and started proclaiming themselves the Son of God, it'd be a little weird. But his disciples and his followers, they believed him, and they trusted in the Holy Spirit that they were feeling. And they followed him, and this is a wonderful thing for us and a good thing. And he saved a lot. He saved us with his love. But Paul is telling this church and all of us that those who trust in God and those who follow his plans and the Holy Spirit, those are the people that will be saved. Those are the people who will not be disgraced. Those who choose to love people and help people no matter what, those are the people that truly understands God rules, similar to Jesus coming and loving all of the people. You didn't necessarily have to follow every single rule that's written out in Leviticus and Numbers, but what you can do is love people and care for all the people, whether they're similar to you or they're different from you or they agree with you or whatever. In a lot of Jesus' teachings, there is like one common theme of love. And once Jesus came into this world, kind of the two most important rules that he was proclaiming were love your neighbor as thyself, the golden rule, and loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And these were kind of the rules that he talks about through his entire, all of his preachings and all of his scriptures. And kind of the lots, I don't know if you've ever read Leviticus and Numbers, but all of the rules about the mixed fabrics and the sacrifices or all the other rules, he didn't talk about them very much. If he did talk about them, it was to kind of say, like, we're moving away from that. Like, that's not really what we think about anymore. And there's a lot of stories in the Bible showing that the Jesus denying these previously set rules of religion to just love people and help them. And most of them are stories that I'm sure we all heard about in children's church or as children in Sunday school. Jesus healing people on the Sabbath or washing his disciples' feet. He talks to people with leprosy. All of these things that religious leaders at the time thought were crazy. They didn't understand it. And he actually questioned him several times. But when they questioned him, Jesus' response was always to tell them that his actions were justified because what he was doing was loving people, and that was all really God wanted them to do. God sent Jesus both to cleanse us of our sins and to teach us to love that the love that he had for his people and that we should also have for all of his people. And those two rules of love are the rules that Jesus kind of held on to and tried to teach us through his time on earth. And as Christians and followers of Jesus, our goal is to love all those around us and show them what that God's love is and what Jesus showed us and what then we show other people. We all share the same goal of embodying God's love and showing it to the world. It's not just the people we see every day or the people who come to the same church as us or people that we agree with. It's all of the people in the world that deserve to be shown God's love. And I know personally there are people that I don't necessarily like or agree with or want to hang out with, but those are rules that I've made in my own head for the deserving thing that people should be loved, like what they have to do to be loved. That's not something that God has created. For God, there is no rules for love. It's just loving everyone, no matter what they've done or what they will do. And I hope that's not just me that doesn't enjoy other people sometimes. But I do understand that when Jesus came to this world to teach us of the gospel, he didn't go around telling people that, you know, God has a lot of rules, so I actually can't help you today. I can help you tomorrow. Or, you know, I can't actually hang out with you. I have to hang out with these other people. He came, and everyone who asked him for help received it. And everyone who needed his love and attention also received it. He preached with both his words and his actions of a love that was for everyone with no rules. And the rules of yesterday were just not as important as they used to be. From that point on, us as humans have continued to create and create rules around God's love. We have our own prejudices and things that make us think, well, maybe I don't have to love them. But God's point is that love is for everyone. And I really hope that as we continue to live our lives, we continue to love everyone, no matter what. And even if we don't agree with them, or we don't like them, or we just think they're kind of annoying, God's love is for everyone. And I'm hoping that next time you come to a crossroads where you can choose love or you can choose to push someone away and push them out of your life, that you choose the path of love. You will let the person see you as an example of the love and acceptance that God shows us every day, no matter our actions or what we do, and regardless of the decisions we make. I hope you will take God's love and embody it, both in this church and outside of it, so everyone in the community can see an example that is created when God's love is powered by both our words and our actions.